WHFR Dearborn, this show is pre-recorded. Opinions expressed on the HFCC's Campus Connection are not necessarily those of anyone here at Henry Ford Community College. Catchy little tune, isn't it, Lindsay?
Sounds good. I like it.
This is Campus Connection. I'm Dennis.
I'm Lindsay.
And we can't believe this, but we have actually been given the opportunity to do a second show. I'm as surprised as you, I think.
We even have theme music.
And we have theme music, exactly. What do you think?
I think it's great. Where did it come from? You want to tell me a little bit about this music?
I do. I'd like to tell you. Well, we had our first show, and I don't remember what we used for the first show.
It was the Rocky Horror Picture Show music that I found on the punk rock, some album, weird rock, I don't know. It was Halloween time.
That's right. It was the Rocky Horror Punk Rock Show.
Yeah,
that's what it was. Yeah. And we found something that, I think it was like, we found a song that had 20 seconds of, before there were lyrics. So we'll just loop that. It'll be a great theme song. And it was. It served its purpose.
It was. But this, I'm digging this. Well, I like this a lot.
I'm digging it too. And this, the two gentlemen who composed and produced this, friends of the family, Anthony Abrazino. Now I just call him Anthony, so that's probably the first time I've used his last name. I hope I pronounced that right, Anthony. He also goes by Saint B, because he does. I mean, he makes music. These guys do. And the other gentleman is Mitch Denon, who I've known a long time, also known as Dr. D. I've known Mitch forever. I know his mom, his family, and these are just great kids. And I worked with him on The Haunted House, which I think we'll probably touch on in a minute.
You told me, yeah, you worked at a haunted house a little bit. Scared some kids last month, didn't you?
I scared a lot of kids. I did. But I was paid to. They paid for me to do this. It's not as bad as it sounds. But I went out there. Anthony and Mitch helped out, and they heard about the show. In fact, they listened to our show. These are local kids right here in Dearborn. They heard our show, and they said, that was an interesting theme song. Would you like us to? And I don't think they meant interesting in the way that you and I thought it was. And so they asked if they could compose something, and I think it's great, and I want to keep it.
I want to keep it too. All right. You got my vote.
All right, beautiful.
We got it.
Anthony, Mitch, thank you.
Thank you.
Lindsay says thank you.
Thanks a lot, guys.
How was your Halloween?
You know, my daughter usually hangs out with her dad on Halloween. It's kind of like their thing. Okay. So I just kind of, you know, pass out candy, drink some coffee, stay up late.
Stay up really late.
Stay up really late, watch scary movies.
Are you like half of America? Do you order pizza instead of making something to eat?
No, actually, my mom made all kinds of food. She makes a lot. She made like a pumpkin, like it's a little tiny pumpkin, baking pumpkins, I guess you call them. And she stuffs it with like bread and cream and milk, and it's like this just messy, cheesy, dippy thing that we, it's really good. You'd love it.
Prepared
in the pumpkin. Look, you roasted in the pumpkin.
Pick a food and say, oh, it's great, you'd love it, because it's probably accurate.
Yeah. You'd love this. It was great.
Well, as you know, I did a little scaring. My sister used to live next to an apple orchard. They had this haunted house there, a barn of terror or whatever, every year. And this year they added a cornfield maze. And my sister said, hey, do you want to come out and help out? It's a lot of fun. Well, I know it's fun because I was there as a customer the last time they did this a few years ago. And my sister scared the you-know-what out of me. So I figured, well, how much more fun could it be? And we actually got paid to do this.
All right.
I know a lot of times you volunteer, and we did. We successfully scared a lot of people to just various degrees of hysteria.
How big is this maze?
It started out actually pretty big. It's about 2 acres.
Oh, wow.
The thing is, though, that if it's a good maze, you know, 2 days later you're still looking for people.
Right.
And what happened was the people would get lost and then they'd get found again. They'd find their way, and when you run into the same monster several times, it's not quite as scary.
Right.
And people would pile up on each other, and there's certain things, and we'll talk about this at some other time, but there's certain ways to get maximum scare. And a lot of it has to do with the limited number of people coming through at only once.
Right.
So the maze turned into more like a path. And and they found their way out, but they were scared sufficiently. There's something I really want to congratulate you on. You had your first show. I want to pronounce this right. It is Playing in the Waves.
With Lindsay on WHFR, the only station making waves.
And when did this debut?
Saturday at 6 o'clock. It will be on again this Saturday at 6 o'clock, 6 to 8. It's 2 hours of family programming. Okay. And to my understanding, it will be doing every other Saturday, but this is going to be starting, I believe, after this Saturday coming up. So I got 2 weeks in a row here.
That's awesome.
Family programming. And when I say family programming, it's kid-friendly music, but parents dig it. You listened?
I did. I listened.
Did you enjoy the music?
I did.
Yeah.
I did. And very folky.
Yeah. It's definitely got a roots feel to it. A lot of roots music. I'm going all over the place with it, though. I want to do a lot of world music. I want to get some... Might possibly bring some drummers in, do some African drumming or something
in the studio,
okay. And do that. I wanna have a lot of guests. I wanna have people come in and do fun stuff with kids on the air. So,
what can I ask you? What inspired that? Because there are a lot of different formats here at the station, and we have everything from world music, we have hip hop, we have alternate everything, big band, even gospel.
But I don't wanna. I love all music, so I wanted to do something where all genres, like I can just do everything. I don't have to be having to do just one format, where I can really get out there and do everything. And I love kids. You know, I got a daughter of my own, and I wanted to do something that she could sit at home on a Saturday night and listen and be like, "That's my mom, and I love this song." You know, so it worked out pretty good. I think I'm happy with it. We'll see how it works out, how it all plays out for me here on WHFR.
No, your daughter did listen.
Oh yeah. She listened the whole time, I hear.
That's a good feeling.
I had quite a few listeners. I actually met some people later that night. I went to the benefit that we had at New Place Lounge, the blues benefit that night. After my show, I went up to New Place to go listen to some good blues. And there were a few people up there that had heard my show and actually knew some of the musicians that I had played on my show. They're New Orleans musicians. David and Rosalind are their names. And one of the guys that were up at New Place, he's the owner of a club in Detroit, and the musicians that I had played in my show had just done a show at his club just a couple months prior. Okay. So it was pretty cool that he was actually listening and was like, wow, you know, how do you know them? How do you know David and Rosalind? I was like, oh, you know who they are. This is impressive. All right, so you listened to my show. He's like, oh, yeah, I was listening. It was a good show. So I have a fan. It's pretty cool.
That's one more than me.
Oh, damn. Oh, Dennis, come on. No.
Seriously, though.
But the benefit was great.
That, you know, and unfortunately, I wasn't able to make it. I imagined it would be a nice spot, you know, plenty of notice. Now, tell me who was there.
Well, Carl Henry opened the show up, and as I was mentioning about David and Rosalind, New Orleans musicians, I love New Orleans music, and Carl Henry did a whole set of New Orleans music.
Oh, you're in heaven.
I know. I was like, wow, this is great. So it was, I enjoyed that a lot. He did House of the Rising Sun, one of my very favorite songs.
Like it.
And he did a wonderful job at it. It was very good. And following Carl Henry was Lemon James, who I've never seen before.
Right.
I never even had heard that much from her before, aside from hearing a little bit on the station here. And she made her own guitar.
Okay.
She made her own guitar, and it was filled with LED lights and stuff, and it was battery operated, lighting up guitar. And this guitar, she could play it, man. She was awesome. I mean, it was phenomenal the way she could play guitar. She even played it with her teeth for a little while. I was impressed.
Oh,
I was
really?
Like, oh yeah,
Jimi Hendrix style.
She's a total Jimi Hendrix style type. I'd give her a Janis Joplin, Jimi Hendrix, and she's got an awesome body. She's very thin.
I'm really bummed I missed it, actually.
Yeah, it was really cool. And then Broken Arrow Blues Band wrapped it all up, closed out the night at New Place, and did a great job. It was a lot of fun. It was a good night.
Cool.
There was good people, a nice turnout. And I sat there at the WHFR booth and sold some shirts and CDs and a couple things. We had some buyers.
You sold some CDs. Now, that reminds me, our listeners know, I believe, that this is a pre-recorded show.
Mm-hmm.
It is actually right now, not Tuesday the 10th when this airs. But on the day that this show airs, we also have, and then the following day, we have a record sale. Purge CDs that we no longer keep in stock.
Aren't they all a dollar?
And they're a dollar.
Oh my gosh.
And there's a lot of them.
Mm-hmm.
And we sold some at homecoming. We sell them at the different things that we have going on. We had a record show earlier in October.
Yeah.
Right here.
Yeah, I didn't make it to that one.
But
that one was that one all CDs a dollar or two? I mean, is it always like that, or is this one kind of unique, kind of special?
You know what? This is a little bit new to me.
Mm-hmm.
But from what I understand, it's special in the sense that there's nobody else selling. I mean,
right.
It's just our radio station. It's right here on campus in the Fine Arts Building, which is the western part of campus. And Tuesday, November 10th, from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. and then Wednesday, November 11th, from also 10 to 2. And that'll be in the Fine Arts Building. It's just, to me, it's cool because there's so much music here. We already play music that you won't hear anywhere else. Mm-hmm. And you can come in for a dollar and buy it.
Yeah. I'm pretty excited. I'm working. I'm going to work at a booth for like an hour, but I'm going to do a lot of shopping as well.
Oh, I know. It's almost like you can't go wrong. If it's this genre, if you have the genre that you like together, it's like put a $10 bill down and grab, you know, and right. You're going to find something you like out of there. I rarely, there's very little here I don't like.
Yeah.
Something kind of a big deal to me because I found out about it. I know we have a promo on our radio station. And I had an opportunity to speak today with a gentleman regarding an event coming up here at the end of the week. It's called the Middle Eastern Visions Fall Film Festival.
Oh, I know about this.
You do?
I do. This is exciting.
Well, it's really exciting. And if you don't mind, I'm going to read from the events, the list we have. But I also had a chance to speak with a wonderful gentleman. His name is Ahmad Nouri. And he's a full-time counselor here at the college. And We'll play that interview for our listeners, but just to give you a really quick overview of what's going on here, it's the Henry Ford Community College Arab Cultural Studies Program and Council of American Cultures presents the Middle Eastern Visions. Middle Eastern Visions, a Fall Film Festival. It is Thursday, November 12th to Sunday, November 15th. And what I'd love to do right now is just play this interview that I had with the gentleman because it pretty much sums almost all of it up.
Let's hear it.
I'm here with Ahmad Nouri, full-time counselor here at Henry Ford Community College. Thank you for taking the time to speak with me today regarding the Middle Eastern Visions Fall Film Festival. And I know that we really appreciate even more information about what we have here. If you could just tell me a little bit about the Middle Eastern Visions and then how you became involved in it.
Sure. Thank you for having this interview with me. About a year ago, we've worked on having a group called the Arab Cultural Studies Group, in which we, each one of us, took upon himself and herself to sort of work on different projects. I myself chose film because I've done that twice before in 2000 and 2002, not as part of this group, but different groups, outside groups. And we did kind of sort of similar film festivals as well, Arabic film festival, excuse me. And this year I wanted to do the same kind of follow in the same tradition of having a film festival that is shown here on HFCC, Henry Ford Community College, FORFA Auditorium. And myself being a son of a filmmaker, my dad was a filmmaker in the Middle East. He worked in Lebanon and Egypt and Syria. He was a filmmaker. And so I grew up around cameras and production, post-production and all that. So I felt the necessity to really tell our own story through the medium of film. And film not only bring in a story, but also the background and the culture around that story.
Now, you're telling multiple stories here.
Yes.
In fact, it seems as if each day brings a new film.
Yes.
And each one has its own particular story. Sure. And I noticed, well, we will break each of these down, but I noticed you talked about in Lebanon, some of the situations there they're different. There are a lot of similarities, but there's some different things that are going on, in the Gaza
sure,
Strip.
Absolutely.
And so I think that's what I thought it was such a huge undertaking to look at this and say, well, we're going to tell multiple stories. You have a lot of things going
sure,
on here,
sure.
and just a few days to do it.
Yes. See, the main theme is really how the notion of war is affecting all these different places. And how they all cope with that notion, whether in Lebanon or Gaza or Palestine in general, Iraq, so on. Each one of these places is infested with present war or past wars, and how these wars are affecting their social fabric and political system and the individual as well as the human condition. It's very important for us to sort of show that to the American public and to the general public, not just to the American public, on how the story is told through the eye of typical director. For instance, on Friday, we were featuring Slingshot Hip Hop. And
that's a cool name.
It's a cool name, and to me, it's really an important film because not only it tells the story of Palestinian rappers and those who are stuck in Gaza, but also how African-American music influenced progress elsewhere, outside the United States.
Interesting. Interesting. So based on your experiences, let's take hip-hop. Is that something that is widely listened to in the Middle East?
Yeah, in today's society. I mean, in the Middle East, young kids are trying to emulate hip-hop, style of music.
Just the style, and then, of course, they incorporate their own things that are
their own things, absolutely. That is very similar, the lyrics, how... for instance, if you look at Gaza or places in Palestine, they're similar to what we call the ghetto, the American ghetto.
Like an urban area,
inner city, ghetto. Right. And how poverty, injustice, war all sort of play a big role in how these young kids express their lives and what's going on with their lives.
I did note, let me reiterate here. The Henry Ford Community College, it's the Arab Cultural Studies Program and Council of American Cultures presents what's called the Middle Eastern Visions, a fall film festival. And that's Thursday, November 12th to Sunday, November 15th in the FORFA Auditorium. That's HFCC's Administrative Services and Conference Center. And it says the film features 13 films, as well as an appearance by the director. And you were talking about, that is the director of the Slingshot.
Yes, Slingshot Hip Hop will...
Tell me, it's a female, correct?
It's a female, Jackie Saloom. She's actually, I believe, a native of Dearborn.
No kidding, okay.
She went to school at Eastern EMU, I believe, Eastern Michigan University. And she's back to share her talent with us. So she's going to be the speaker for Q&A after the show. So that's going to be a really good show.
And not that's only Friday.
That's a Friday night, yes.
Okay. The special pre-festival presentation is held November 12th. Yep. And it's James Longley's Gaza Strip. Okay. Mm-hmm. And again, that show is from 11:10 a.m. to 12:30 p.m. on Thursday, November 12th, just a couple days from now.
Yep.
And then Slingshot Hip Hop, like you said, will play from 12:40 to 2 on that Thursday also?
On that Thursday for a special feature for the students, because they're going to be on campus. We want to make sure the students will get a taste of that, as well as the general public on Friday night at 8 o'clock. So Slingshot Hip Hop will be shown twice, yes.
Awesome. Okay. You will also have some short films from, I'm going to pronounce these.
True.
Akram, is it Zatari?
Zatari, yes.
Excellent. And that's Saturday, November 14th.
Saturday, yep.
From 4 to 4:40 p.m. And his films are Teach Me. Do you know, tell me a little bit about that.
Yes, well, they're like sort of five short movies where he typically depict ordinary lives, ordinary people lives, and how, and used extensive editing or montage to kind of sort of mix real life with media footages and in a way where he sort of expressed a statement against violence.
And it's almost in an artistic way?
In an artistic
way?
Yes.
Excellent. Okay. All right. And that, again, is November 14th. And then, again, later that night, we have The Closed Doors.
Yes.
Tell me about The Closed Doors, directed by Atef Hatata.
Hatata. It's an Egyptian movie that the story is told around the first Gulf War in 1991. The story is set around that time. The movie was actually made around 1999, but there's sort of a flashback in time. It's actually a story about how a young Egyptian turned to fundamentalism because of unanswered questions into his life, whether it was sexuality, oppression, poverty, and a system that is not really nurturing this young man made him gravitate toward fundamentalism.
Okay. I have to tell you, the one that really has me, and this is the one I was really looking forward to asking about, in addition to the one where the director will be there, Slingshot Hip Hop. I was really interested in that, but it's also on the 14th. It's from 7 to 8:30. Ilya Salima.
Slim Man, sure.
Divine Intervention. This, yes. From the name all the way to the brief description, please tell me, this really has me intrigued.
Yeah, the movie Divine Intervention, it's almost like a mystical journey into the lives of Palestinians who live in Israel versus those who live outside the checkpoint, which we call the West Bank. And there's a love story between the actual director, Elia, and his girlfriend from Ramallah, West Bank, and how and about the impossibility of them both to meet because of the checkpoint. So in a sort of mystical sense, he creates this analogy where there's these mystical forces fighting on his behalf to kind of bring him salvation.
That sounds artistic too.
Yeah, very surreal.
Okay,
yeah,
excellent.
It's a surreal movie.
And that one just has me fit because in my mind I'm thinking of all this conflict that's going on and how can there be a resolution? And of course, we'll find out. And it also is called a darkly comic masterpiece.
It is. So funny. There's a mix of fun and darkness and you, there's laughter, but it was really a dark sort of comedy.
No, I completely understand that. It's something that I normally enjoy, so I'm looking forward to that. We go to, I don't think I'm skipping any here. We go to November the 15th.
Sure.
That's a Sunday. Remnants of War.
Yeah.
Again, that by Jawad Metni.
Metni, yes.
And that sounds kind of along the lines of what you'd already said, where we're talking about what happens afterward.
Yeah, Jawad is a very sort of sober movie, I mean, in a way. It's a documentary, and it's about the remnant of what the Israeli Hezbollah war in the summer of 2006 left Lebanon with almost a million minefield that were uncovered, sporadic cluster bombs that were thrown everywhere.
No kidding, okay.
It's kids and innocent people are still stumbling and tripping on and dying as a result of that. So there will be a speaker from the State Department, Dr. George Cody. He's going to be featured. Who's going to be speaking on that issue after the movie?
So he'll be here on that Sunday.
He'll be here. Yeah, there'll be a reception to honor him, and he'll be speaking. On behalf of that.
And then shortly after that is another interesting title. This is James Longley's.
Yes,
he directed this. It's called Iraq in Fragments.
Yes, it's a movie that was done about 3 years ago, and it was about. How really there is no one country right now in Iraq. How the whole country is fragmented into three or four different pieces, and it's artistic and surreal moments. And I thought the movie really grasped the story very nicely, and it's told through the eye of a child, which I
thought that's cool. Really, okay, nice. Now and. No, that's very true about the country, and I think that we take so much for granted because Iraq was in the news for so long, and now less because of other situations.
Oh, absolutely.
But there's still a lot of situations. There's still a lot of issues there.
Absolutely.
When was that film?
That was 3 years ago.
Okay, probably. So that's right in the middle of a lot of what's going on. It says that the closing the film festival is Paradise Now.
Paradise Now.
And I wonder if that the title is a bit ironic. I don't.
Yes,
I don't know. I have visions of paradise.
Yeah,
and okay, I'll let you tell.
I mean, I think, and I'm not sure if that's what went into the minds of the director when he did it. But you sort of look into Apocalypse Now, the movie by Coppola, the movie Apocalypse Now. He used the same kind of terminology, but added Paradise Now instead of Apocalypse Now, because as suicide bombers. There's this notion that they're going to go to paradise eventually if they kill
I think
themselves.
We've all heard this sure
so the actual title does not really glamorize the notion but actually takes you to the mind of what makes a suicide bomber, what conditions, what are the things that are surrounding that person that made him become a suicide bomber.
And we do know from actual conversation with with people that eventually...
It's not a documentary. It's really a fiction.
Okay, okay.
But it's done in such a sort of reality style that you almost feel like it's almost a documentary.
I know, I'm looking forward.
It's really a fictional story.
This isn't kid stuff. That's a lot of this is very...
Very, very, yeah, very serious stuff.
Graphic at all?
I won't say there's a lot of graphic violence and nudity and stuff like that, but I would say the topic itself is not, I mean, it's not something that, you know, a young kid would really understand.
Right.
Now, definitely the stuff about the war, and I mean the documentaries about the war may have some, you know, sensitive, you know, I would say you parents may want to be sensitive to that.
Absolutely.
If they want to bring their own children. But overall, all the movies have some sort of educational purpose as well. So, you know, I leave it up to the parents to decide what to do.
But these films have all been seen before. You're very familiar with them.
Yes.
And what was just this... Very curious. What was the process that you went through? We were part of.
Sure.
Were you part of the selection process?
Yes.
What you were picking?
Yes. Yes.
How did you figure this out?
Well, it really took me a long time before to sit down and try to bring movies that would not necessarily be homogeneous, but somehow would be complement with each other. I mean, you don't want to bring movies that would contradict each other in a way, but at the same time. I wanted to make sure that they're interesting and entertaining as well as interesting and artistic as well. So I wanted to do it all. I wanted to bring movies that would keep people watching and at the same time learning something, identifying and empathizing and so on. So it was based on stuff that I've seen before, stuff that I've read about, you know. It was a rigorous search, I would say.
Now, if anybody has questions, where would you direct phone calls? Or I do know they can go to the website at hfcc.edu,
right.
And I believe right on the front page there's information.
There's a homepage. There's right on the homepage. There's two ads on that speak to that event. Okay.
You know, we have a promo at the station, too. I know we're doing one at our radio station.
Sure.
So there's just to reiterate, Mr. Nouri is a big part of the process of getting Middle Eastern Visions, the Fall Film Festival, to our school, to HFCC. And that, again, is starting Thursday, November 12th to Sunday, November 15th, different times. And all for the different movies, and people can check it out. I'm sure there's going to be people that want to see all of them.
Sure.
Some people, different ones.
Absolutely.
And I'm just really glad that you gave us the time today to talk about this.
You're more than welcome. And just remind everybody, it's going to be a free event, so you don't
open to everybody. We want
everybody
that can hear our voice.
Please do.
You know, and we're all over Dearborn Heights.
Yes.
So I have a feeling we'll get quite a turnout, and we'll continue to promote at the station. Thank you so much for your time.
You're very welcome. Thank
all
you.
Right. Then. All right now. Hey, we're back. And that was Mr. Ahmad Nouri, counselor here, full-time counselor at the school. Just a great guy. He was so gracious to give me that much time.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a couple other things that we did not include that I found out later. Prior to the Friday, November 13th showing, which is at 6 to 7:40, there is a reception that includes refreshments and I believe just some things to drink. And then also on Sunday, I think it's after 4:30, because there's a 3:30 to 4:30 is Remnants of War, and the director will be there. And after that is another reception, which includes refreshments, food, and stuff to drink. And I'm always about stuff to eat.
that's before the 6 o'clock showing, then?
That is.
On Sunday?
Before. It's 3:30 to 4:30 is Remnants of War, and then after that will be the refreshments. Then it'll go into the Iraq and Fragments, which I think that's one we plan on going to see.
I'm thinking about it. It's Sunday, so Sunday's kind of a hard day for me to get out once in a while, but I might try to make it to that one. I've heard of that film, and I'm curious about it. I'd really like to see it.
And that's from 6 to 7:30. Something else that Mr. Nouri mentioned is that our school
we'll have the movies on loan at our library. In other words, the school is purchasing the rights to these movies so we can have copies right here.
Very cool.
Very cool.
Very cool.
And they're gonna, they plans on doing that from now on. Anytime they do this, this is not like a, oh, we had a great film festival, thanks. No, this is like, okay, we'll see you again next year.
This is a new, all right.
Ongoing. And because of that, like I said, they're going to have all the movies that they show, they'll have them in the library that we can grab them. And you got to think, I mean, this is going to factor into the curriculum somehow.
Yeah.
Which right. I think is absolutely wonderful. I've monopolized the, including the interview, the first half of our show, which is HFCC's Campus Connection. I'm Dennis.
I'm Lindsay.
And we are here the second
Tuesday of every month.
Okay.
At 1 o'clock. 2 o'clock.
1 o'clock.
1 o'clock.
Podcast all
this
the
is,
time. Forever.
Yeah. This is pre-recorded. So Tuesdays, second Tuesday of every month,
it is 1 not,
o'clock, it will be airing. And it is podcasted on WHFR.FM.
The station making waves.
You can hear us there.
That's right. All you do is look up the date, which the actual date, which will be the 10th, not the date. Forget it. Okay, so we know where we're at. You had a big deal. Like I said, I'm monopolizing the conversation here, but you had something that was pretty interesting. I think it was you were talking about the food drive.
Well, there is a food drive going on right now on campus. The Criminal Justice Club is doing this. There are bins all throughout campus that have CRJ signs on them. Have you happened to notice any bins that say CRJ?
I did. Actually, there's one, I think, right outside of the windows.
All right. Well, they're collecting non-perishable food items, and it's going to Gleaners Community Food Bank, which, long time standing. I mean, they've been around for a long time. And it's going on now through November 20th, which is a Friday.
Okay.
Next Friday, I believe. So
a week from this Friday, right.
Yeah. If you're on campus, bring in some non-perishable goods, food that's boxes, cans, you
Canvas,
know.
Canvas, right.
Cans, yeah, not really box. Boxes, right? You can bring in boxed food.
Sure, cereal.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. It's
non-perishable. It stays, it doesn't go bad, right? That's
well,
what that means.
Yeah, everything's perishable at some point.
Right, that's true, yeah.
So, but they mean don't, like, bring in, you know, fresh steaks, ground hamburger right here.
Gallon of milk.
Gallon of milk. Yeah, that should be good. I brought cereal, too. No, and
yeah,
the 20th.
It's the season to start doing things like this. So, yeah, going on right now through the 20th.
Okay.
And that is the Criminal Justice Club is putting that on, doing that. So kudos to them. Yay, kudos. Guys.
Yay. Thank Yay. You. Thank you. We still have, and let's, I know we have a list of things here, but we still have, again, ongoing, The Road Not Taken, a false star talk. Now, that is only, that's at our planetarium, but that is only through November 24th. Get there. Well, I understand it's phenomenal.
Mm-hmm.
I have not gone yet, but I am going. Maybe as early as the next Tuesday. The day that this airs, that would be a good day.
That's tomorrow.
Oh, I was trying to keep it a anyway, yeah, it is tomorrow. Tuesday evening, 7:30.
All of our fans are going to show up there to see you. They want to watch the stars with you, Dennis.
Yeah, I'm short, bald, very heavy, and I wear a pink carnation. There's also something else kind of big going on. Actually, through December 11th, there's a wonderful art exhibition, and I know we talked about this last month.
We did.
It is called Those Who Teach Can, a Metro Detroit Educators Extravaganza. That's an art exhibition here right at our gallery at the McKenzie Fine Arts Center. Ongoing, it'd be a, you know what, you know what?
This is the one where the secondary art teacher's work is like being put on display. Is that
Look
what it is?
Look at that memory.
Yeah, all right.
Incredible.
I think that's what it is.
Really?
Yeah.
I have no idea. No, I'm kidding. Yes, right. That's exactly what you're talking
about. Come
on, no, Dennis. And I think it would be, you know, it would be a really kind of a neat thing to do would be to go and peruse our CDs. You know,
mm-hmm.
That's right there.
All right.
It's literally right next to the art gallery. Go in, take a break.
Go look at the CDs.
And then go back and look at the CD. You can make an afternoon of this.
Yeah.
Well, at least till 2, because that's when it's over.
An afternoon of fine arts at Henry Ford Community College.
Oh, my gosh. Is that a great
tagline? Imagine the possibilities.
Oh.
That wasn't planned. That's just totally...
No,
that,
you can't plan that kind of radio. Not at all.
That's good.
We have a couple other things that we talked... Do you remember Chad? Chad Austin, does that name ring a bell?
I remember Chad very well. You know, I have a business class I'm in right now, business behavior and communication, and we had to do a fashion show. And Chad came in to be like our fashion show expert man.
You're totally
like,
making this up.
No, this is so true.
Okay.
This is so true. We had to dress up. We actually had to like walk the catwalk. We had music. We had an index card where we had to like write down what we were wearing, how much it might have costed, you know, and
we had to get a critique. These were your clothes?
Yeah, these were our clothes that we had to like, you know, pull out of the closets ourselves.
Okay.
And if we knew where we bought it from, maybe say the store. Because some people had some pretty snazzy suits on, you know. I threw something together. Just kind of, yeah, I did all right.
This is my retro-ish
Well, Chad critiqued all of us because he is the businessman here on campus. He's the job placement officer.
Right.
He's running all these job search workshops. So to have him in our classroom to give a critique on our outfits to say if we are like interview worthy,
right?
You know, it was really nice. It was really cool of him to be in there.
Was he brutal? Was he like just totally like I can't believe?
He was very kind. No, he was very kind. Yeah, most of the class, we all clean up very well.
Oh yeah,
we all looked really good.
All right, you would hire yourself.
I would totally hire myself
based on that. That's funny. Well, Chad, who was on our show last month, our debut edition, he talked a lot about the different different workshops that are going on, and November 11th, which is the day after this airs, is the cover letter writing workshop, and that's obviously the HFCC's job placement office is presenting that, and participants are going to learn how to compose a well-written and individually crafted cover letter for HFCC students and graduates.
Well, Tuesday. The day this airs, tomorrow for us, actually today if you're listening right now, is going to be the resume writing workshop. So you should do the resume writing workshop at 2:30 on Tuesday. Wednesday, go check out the cover letter writing workshop. Get your cover letter, your resume, bam, bam, you're ready to go. You can get yourself a job.
That's a really good idea. And then are we still going to factor in how to go to the art gallery and buy CDs?
Buy CDs and look at art and get a job? Wow.
I don't know. I don't even think I'm going to go to class.
There's so much going on.
There's a lot
right?
to do here.
Yeah. So. For those workshops, too, it is recommended. I mean, you could RSVP and like try and make sure that you have a spot reserved. That way it assures that you will get a computer to work on. If not, Chad did say that you can jot down notes, and he'd be more than happy to help people with their resumes and cover letters. If they have, like, their laptop or something, that's great, too. So it is recommended, though, to maybe try an RSVP for this. It's 845-9618. That's the job placement office. You can RSVP for either the resume writing or the cover letter writing. And if you want a computer and you want to be there and you want to make sure that you have time to work on this and really knock it out and get Chad's help, call RSVP 845-9618.
I would personally want Chad's help because he was an impressive young gentleman, and especially if he's nice when he's critiquing,
because
you know, constructive criticism, some people take it better than others. We also talked about on our last show, and this is something again that's a big deal. On Wednesday, November 11th, Imagine the Possibilities: Non-Traditional Technology Careers for Women. It's a seminar. We talked about it a little bit. I don't want to be redundant, and I know that there was a wonderful lady named Diane Green who interviewed but talked about this on Jay Cornick's show. He has a public affairs show on Fridays from 1 to 2 o'clock called the New WHFR Journal, and he spoke with Diane Green extensively about this on Friday. So I encourage people, I encourage people to find out as much as they can about this, and the best source of information would definitely be to listen to Jay's show.
Yeah.
Is that shameless? Because I'm on there also, but it has nothing to do with me. This is all about Diane Green. This is all about imagining the possibilities.
Non-traditional careers for women.
For women. And again, men, hold on. That's out in the spring. We'll do that. We'll do this again for men. But these are careers that, again, women wouldn't, or traditionally would not be interested in. I don't even know if it's a matter of interest. It was something that wasn't happening.
It was something that was once considered a man's job to be a welder. So, I mean, I don't want to sound stereotypical, but it's true. That's how it once was. And times, they are changing.
They are.
It's a little different now. So, non-traditional career for women. That's where that
really well
comes
from. Participants will learn about rewarding careers in technology that have traditionally been underrepresented
by
women.
There you
go. Speakers will include HFCC faculty, graduates, and counselors, 8 a.m. to 1 p.m. In a conference room in the technology building. So, but like you said, there's other jobs, there's other things that we're doing. Men are going to be interested in nursing.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of them are. It's funny, I look at it now and I don't even think about it, but yes, there still is not even a stigma, but certain connotations attached to certain jobs. We'll clear all that up for you here, and that's Wednesday, November 11th.
I wonder where cooking comes in with that. Is who can be a cook, a man? I mean, I know anybody can, but what's considered non-traditional there? Like, is it mostly a man's kind of world?
See, I do all the cooking in my house.
See, I love to cook too. So, I mean, it's hard to say, and I know that you go to a restaurant, there's a lot of chefs that are... You watch the Food Network. I mean, everybody's on there. You got all kinds. So I wonder where that falls. We should maybe...
Well, I don't know, but I wonder if at some point in the not too distant past, they had that in the technology, the careers seminar for men. I wonder if that was something...
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's a great question. And you know what? We will get Kathy on this show. She's from our...
She's from the restaurant.
The restaurant, which... That was my segue.
We'll see what the ratio is from men to women in the culinary arts program here at Henry Ford Community College.
Well, you've worked in a restaurant, haven't you?
Well, I've bartended and waitressed.
Okay.
I mean, I kind of cooked along with bartending, but it was more like bar cooking. I wasn't like a chef by any means at all. So, I mean, but when you work in a restaurant, yeah, you've got all kind. I mean, there's men and women working.
There were. I was a waiter.
A lot of guys are cooks, though, at restaurants. So that's why it's, you know.
I was afraid of all of them. The men and the women and the kids. When you're a waiter, you have to be careful.
Yeah,
you have to be really careful.
No, you always make friends with the cooks.
You always make friends with the cooks. And that's something that I think both you and I, we will always agree on, that we love to eat. We love to eat the food here.
I'm going to be eating here on Wednesday.
Okay.
5101. Actually, the business class I was telling you about, this is business behavior and communication. I'm going to, at the one that we did our fashion show, we're also having a luncheon on Wednesday. We're having a professional lunch, and we get to sit in at the restaurant. Have a lunch. To my understanding, this week's menu, they have specials every week at the 5101. They change them weekly. This week is going to be an Italian kind of theme.
Okay.
I'm torn. I don't know what to order. They're featuring chicken Florentine, Italian meat lasagna, and then there's the Girosto.
Oh, sounds good.
Girosto style swordfish steak. Girosto means, we figured this out, it's how it's prepared. It's grilled with olive oil and garlic and herbs and seasonings and stuff. And it's a swordfish steak, and it's going to be with sauteed snails, garlic, and cream tossed with angel hair pasta. I mean, doesn't that just sound...
Actually, it sounds awesome. I am a huge fish and seafood fan.
I love fish and seafood, too. So, and I mean, this luncheon was included in the price of my tuition, so I'm going all out.
Oh, my gosh, yeah. Absolutely.
I might even do the filet mignon, which is offered regularly.
Are you allowed to bring, like, a visitor to class that day?
Yeah, right.
I was just curious.
I could, yeah, I don't know.
Maybe somebody from your family or me.
Right.
Think about it.
Well.
She's not thinking about it, but go ahead. In addition to those specials, because I know that the Thanksgiving and the holidays are coming up.
Well, the holiday buffet is coming up really soon, actually. That's going to be...
This is what I'm all over. Right here.
This one is, it's like next week. What? Wednesday, November 18th. That's next week already. This week is Friday the 13th. Next week is going to be...
The following. It's a week from Wednesday then.
A week from Wednesday.
Okay.
November 18th is the holiday buffet. It's going to be going on from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m.
Okay.
And then that's for the lunch.
Then 11 to 1?
11 to 1.
That only gives me 2 hours to eat.
Well, you can come back at 6 to 8 for dinner.
I'll just wait.
All right. Well, you can do it twice.
All right, do that.
Do it twice. Reservations are recommended for this, though, Dennis.
I know.
You and your stomach need to make a reservation.
I need a reservation for two, please.
Yeah, you can call 206-5101. How easy is that? 206-5101.
All right.
Make a reservation. The holiday buffet is going to feature wild mushroom soup, roast turkey and bread dressing, baked Dearborn brand ham glazed with brandied cherry sauce. Carved, there's mashed potatoes, sweet, just like your fixings, all your holiday baked acorn squash. I'm getting distracted. I'm just looking at this menu. Basically, let's get down to what it is. It's $14 a person.
Okay.
You get, there's a full salad bar along with this too, and there's a dessert bar. There's going to be pastries, just a whole assortment of pastries, pumpkin pie, and beverages.
I was told that if you walk away from that still hungry, it's your own fault. Basically, that's what I was told. I said, well, is it enough? I eat a lot. I love to eat. Food is, I just absolutely love food.
Well, it is a buffet, so.
Okay. That means all you can eat?
All you can eat.
Huh.
All you can eat. Well, in the time slot allowed it. I mean, you got 11 to 1.
Okay. That's what I was thinking, 2 hours. I'll make it work. I'll make it work. We have a deadline coming up on something here, and I know it's not food related.
Oh, no.
But I know that if we keep talking about food, we won't stop. December 1st is the deadline for submitting work to our new, it's called the Michigan Avenue Journal. And I had an awesome opportunity today to speak with Ruth Ann Schmidt, who's a full-time instructor here in our English department. And she's kind of like, she's basically, I think she was the key component in this. She had a lot of help. She was very quick to point that out. But she is starting a literary magazine here from the college. It's called the Michigan Avenue Journal. And I had a chance to talk with her. And I'm wondering if you'd like to hear that.
I do. I would really like to hear it. I want to learn more about this Michigan Avenue Journal.
All right. I'm going to do that right now.
Let's hear it.
Your current project is actually something that was done here before. Do you want to talk a little bit about the before and how
the previous literary magazine that we had at Henry Ford Community College was known as Good Wheels, and it was connected pretty much with the creative writing class here at HFCC. This project is a little bit, it's newer because we're expanding it to all students, all alumni, all staff, and faculty. We're encouraging submissions, and we hope to expand a little bit, we hope to expand to the community as well. So we're going to be more expansive, a larger project than the previous Good Wheels, which was just a class magazine.
It was. Okay. And when you expand to the community, you mean distribution. Like this could be available for...
You know, I think possibly in the future. I also think we could take writers from the community, select writers from the community. We could showcase them as part of the service that we have here at HFCC, both to reach out to the community as well as, you know, educate our students. You know, we make connections in all sorts of ways. So I see the magazine as an expansive project.
Okay, and so you're hoping not right now we don't do that, but we
not
will...
Not right now. Okay. I mean, Michigan Avenue goes all the way, if I'm right geographically, it goes all the way to Chicago. So I think, like the street, we can be expansive.
Excellent.
We can give a voice to Metro Detroit as well.
Okay. So. For the current project right now, though, and I noticed the deadline is December 1st for submissions.
Yes.
And those submissions are twofold. One of them is the actual content, which includes what?
Content will include fiction, poetry, prose, nonfiction, any type of creative writing, creative words, plus any artwork that you can send electronically we're interested in. And then the second is a little open contest to design the cover page of the magazine. So I've got a few submissions, not many submissions. I think the submissions that we won't take for the cover of the magazine will be somewhere within the magazine. We may even save a few covers, so if you don't make it this time for the cover, maybe next time we'll save that magazine cover. So if we're looking for a student, actually particularly we're focused on a student for the cover, to design the front cover of Michigan Avenue. So.
The Michigan Avenue Journal.
Yes, Michigan Avenue Journal, yes.
One question I had regarding nonfiction. Give me an example of a nonfiction piece of work that would make it, that would be, because that's a recipe?
Oh, gosh, no, it wouldn't be a recipe. That's a great question. Nonfiction, any meditative essay, any journalistic endeavor that also talks about the community, the outside of the self, but as well contemplates the self. So when you're talking about, say, Michigan Avenue, stories along Michigan Avenue, those could be personal stories that you're collecting from maybe business owners on Michigan Avenue, people who grew up on Michigan Avenue. It's also essays that reflect on your own interactions on Michigan Avenue, so to speak. So, for example, nonfiction is talking about a subject outside the self, but also as it relates to you.
Memoirish, in a sense.
Memoirish, exactly. That's exactly the language that I want there.
Okay.
Memoir, yeah.
Excellent, okay.
Yeah.
So we'll push that. I mentioned the deadline, December 1st. What's the best way to get these to you?
The best way is to email me at rschmitt, rschmitt1, at hfcc.edu.
Okay. With I want to go back. The artwork. Somebody asked me, oh, I'm a photographer. I take photos of wonderful things in Dearborn.
Okay.
I have photos of the Rouge River before their current projects and now after that.
Oh, that's
and
great.
Those are the kind of things you're talking
about.
Yeah,
I think it's great. I just received some nature photography. I've received some Halloween, not personal photos, but more artistic photos, not pictures of your kids, but pictures of, photography, subject matter oriented. Yes.
And again, sent to you digitally.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
I'm again fascinated by the name because it was something before. Where did you take the name based on exactly what you just said? Like, were you thinking long term? Oh, Michigan Avenue, and it goes this far, and this is.
We sat down with a group of instructors. There's I'm the editor in chief, so to speak. Adam Hazlett is a member of our board. Rick Bailey is a member of our board. Pedro San Antonio, Peter Putnam, Peter Kim. Those are all people who are going to help me read and organize and put the magazine together, the sort of the editorial board, so to speak. And we sat down and threw some names up in the air and talked about it. And Pedro San Antonio came up with the name Michigan Avenue, and he had it on his email, his list there. And we said, wow, you know, we just thought that's the name. And then we talked about a focus for the magazine, and we thought, well, it would be fun to do a student-oriented magazine, but it would be also neat to make connections in with the community. So we thought, it's an expansive name.
It is. It's awesome. And it fits right in with what we're doing as HFCC Campus Connection. We like to think of ourselves as the liaisons between the school and the community. People that may not know what's going on, but want to, regarding some of the things we're doing here. And former students are more than welcome in this particular issue.
Yes, yes, they are.
I think alumni indicates somebody that graduated from here.
Something
that I thought maybe...
A lot of our students transfer elsewhere. A lot of them take classes here and there and come back, so they're continually coming back. So anyone who's taken a former class here at HFCC,
that
yes.
is absolutely awesome, and that opens the door a lot
yeah,
wider than
yes,
I thought. Okay,
yes,
excellent.
Yes.
Okay.
I should mention, though, for those students who are out there, we do have another contest, another smaller contest I've yet to announce, is we're offering up to $200 in gift certificates from the bookstore, say textbooks, for the best, say, 4 submissions. So the top winner will get maybe $100 gift certificate for books, textbooks for the winter semester. The next runners-up, the next 4 runners-up, probably $25 or $50,
right.
depending.
And that is for...
For students primarily who do submit.
And what's the... are we working
December
on
December 1st, yeah.
Oh, that's...
Everything's December 1st.
Everything's
yes.
December 1st,
yes.
Okay.
Yes, and I haven't announced that yet.
Is there a chance? Oh, I'm breaking this. You know I'm breaking this.
Definitely break this. Yes.
WHFR, breaking
news.
Here's
your scoop.
Thank
yes.
you. You know, I've been waiting hours for the... No, I'm kidding. The reality, though, is that a lot of people will enter the contest, win their textbook thing, and they're going to wonder, will I get this published? Can this also be published in the Michigan Avenue Journal?
This is for the journal, strictly. This is for the journal. These are the best submissions to the journal.
Okay.
It's separate from Barrett. It's separate from our larger creative writing contest that happens during
spring.
February. We begin taking submissions in February. It's the winter semester, February, and then we announce the winners in, I believe, the third week of April. We'll do that this coming year, 2010, and that's when we hope to have the Michigan Avenue Journal ready by that time period.
Awesome.
So.
Well, you know, I love that contest.
Yes, I know
do.
You do. I know.
I love it.
So.
And I will be there. So we know how to contact you. We do know. Is there a phone number if they have any other questions?
The phone number would be 313-845-6465.
6465.
Yes.
And we know your email, so I will reiterate that. So we'll get that out there to everybody. December 1st, it's not that, I mean,
no,
oh, I have
no,
3 weeks.
We're under a crunch time. We really, you know, I'm excited. We really want students to submit. We really want alumni to submit. We really want submissions. We're trying to build the magazine, and I want it for the students who are here, and I've had, since it started, we had a steady stream of little gifts coming into my emails of, student writings, and what we're looking forward is just to expand and build the magazine. We've come into a kind of slow period now, and so we're hoping to build up. We want to have the best magazine to put forward for this first time to begin building our base from, and so, you know, we're really working hard on that. We want that.
And I think you just hit the nail on that. And no matter, this will evolve, and it will become whatever it becomes, and sometimes it takes on a life of its own. But being in the very first issue of something this special,
makes it even more special, and I think that people should shoot for that.
I hope so, especially people who have gone to school here.
Sure.
That community will really value. And so we'll see what happens with the distribution. Hopefully the distribution will go a little bit wider. We'll see how it evolves. I'm really fighting for this, and I think our English department here really wants this as well.
Awesome. This is Ruth Ann Schmidt, a full-time instructor here in the English department at Henry Ford Community College. Thank you so much for your time.
Yes, thank you.
December 1st, everyone.
December 1st, the deadline. Yes.
Thank you so much.
Yeah. You're listening to Campus Connection with Lindsay and Dennis, and I'm loving that theme music, Dennis. Sounds really good.
Thank you again, Anthony and Mitch.
Thanks, guys. Speaking of great music, we have a 26th annual Autumn Jazz Concert coming up December 11th. Do you know anything about our jazz bands here at the school?
You know what? I'm really unfortunate. It's unfortunate that you asked me. No.
You know, I didn't know a whole lot about them either. We have two jazz bands and two vocal bands, choirs.
Okay.
Henry Ford's Big Band and Blue Fusion, they're a vocal jazz band. Studio 110, Big Band, and Midnight Blue, vocal jazz. You know, a mix of all these band members have gone to Washington, D.C. for the last three inaugural balls.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah. Our school's jazz bands have been there in Washington. I mean, not only that, Big Band, the Henry Ford Big Band, is the only band to have appeared at the Detroit Jazz Fest for 26 consecutive years. The only band. This is like just like pros, locals, everybody. This isn't just, you know, just local musicians. This is with like major performances too. Nobody has been there for 26 consecutive years in a row. So this is really cool. And they're doing, we have a concert coming up. It's the 26th annual Autumn Jazz Concert, Friday, November 11th at 8 p.m. Tickets are $10 if you're a student, if you're a senior.
It can't be Friday, November 11th.
Did I say November?
Yeah.
December. Oh, okay. My. Good catch there.
No, December, I'm thinking 11th. I'm in a lot of trouble if there's Friday.
If there's a Friday in November.
I'm in like an alternate
Friday,
universe.
December 11th.
Okay.
December 11th, 8 p.m. Friday.
I finally caught Lindsay being wrong. There's one time.
and it's taped. Shoot.
I don't know how to edit.
Oh, my.
Just kidding.
All right. Well, $10. $10 if you're a student of any age, any school, doesn't matter where you go. You could be elementary, you could be high school, you could be college. If you're a student, it's $7. Senior citizens as well, $7. If you want to make advance reservations, they are recommended, and the phone number to call is 317-6566. Once again, this is to see our amazing jazz bands do their annual Autumn Jazz Concert. The concert is performed to thank scholarship donors for money that they've donated to support our music program here at Henry Ford Community College.
That's so awesome. It is.
Yeah, it's...
What's the number? It's 313. What's...
313-317-6566.
Okay. And that's
December. December 11th, 8 p.m. It's a Friday, and it's jazz.
Well, we have something else we brought up last show, and it's very important we bring this up now because the next time you and I meet, I know I'll see you, and I'm sure you'll wave across campus, but the next time we're in this room together doing a broadcast, it will be over, and it's Charles Dickens' A Christmas Carol. I know that you and I have talked about how that's kind of it's a family favorite in my house. I know that you're familiar with it, and I assume that you have your favorite version like most people. The location is actually here on campus at the McKenzie Fine Arts Center in the Adrey Auditorium. I'm going to read right from here because I don't want to miss a date. It's the holiday classic tale of Scrooge and how his heart was melted by visits from the spirits of Christmas past, present, and future. All ages will enjoy the Dickens book brought to the stage by HFCC's Theater for Young Audiences. Matinees, Saturdays, and Sundays are at 2 o'clock. Evening performances are Fridays and Saturdays at 7 p.m. And this starts Friday the 13th, this coming Friday. And it runs all the way through Sunday, December 6th. It's very important that you note that no performances on Thanksgiving weekend from the 27th through the 29th of November. Mm. The performances, like I said, are in the Adrey Auditorium and the McKenzie Fine Arts Center, which, as we know, is where our CD sale is. And there's also an art gallery back there. There's a lot going on at the McKenzie Fine Arts. And the tickets are $12 for adults. Children 12 and under are $5. Students with ID, $10. and then they have a groups of 10 or more, $5 per
school student. Groups can go to this too. Field trips, teachers.
That's it. You're right. Groups
teachers,
of 10
you're
or
listening.
More.
Bring your students. Great holiday thing to do with the class.
For $5? Are you kidding? That's a great deal.
Chaperones and teachers are free.
Really?
That's true.
Now you know this because you are a chaperone.
Well, and I'm a Henry Ford student, and I listen to our station, and it has a wonderful promo for the Christmas Carol.
We have a radio station here?
Yes, we
wonderful.
Do. WHFR.
This is a must-see. This is a must-see for my family. And it coincides, this is on the stage, and it coincides with a movie, Jim Carrey doing an animated version of A Christmas Carol that's at the movies, IMAX included.
It's hot right now.
It's very hot. Well, it's almost Christmas.
Right.
So
remind me.
Yeah. That's all I have.
We covered a lot.
I know I have a lot more, but
you know, we could go on for hours and hours. This is only on once a month. So once a month we gotta cram a lot into our show for 1 hour.
We do.
Once a month.
And I think what I'm thinking
we're drowning in information here.
suffocating and in listen, what I'm thinking is maybe because you know for good reason, we do a lot for the restaurant here. I'm thinking that maybe we could have somebody from the restaurant on the next show, and maybe we could try some different food just to talk about it.
I think that's a great idea. Manager Kathy, Miss Kathy, I would like to talk to her.
Okay.
Maybe do a little interview with her.
Thank you again. This is HFCC Campus Connection on WHFR. .fm, the station making waves. Lindsay, thank you. I had fun.
Dennis, I always have fun with you.
And we will be back for sure. We've been told unless something drastically goes wrong, we'll be back at the beginning of December, the second Tuesday.
December 8th. Right after my birthday. We can have a birthday show. Let's do it.
You know what? I was thinking Christmas show. No, birthday show would be way better.
Okay, we'll do birthday and Christmas.
Which this does remind me, Jennifer, happy anniversary.
Jen, happy anniversary to you and Dennis.
My lovely wife. And thank you again. And we'll talk to you in a month.
All right.
It's Saturday. You and your wife take the boys to the mall, straight to the food court. Your wife and Pete head for tacos. You and Danny want Chinese. You look up at the menu for a few seconds. You look down to see what Danny wants. But you don't see Danny. Your eyes dart around frantically. You instinctively call out,
Danny!
Danny!
From the taco place, you hear a voice.
Hey, Dad! Change my mind!
Every parent knows that feeling when, even for a few seconds, you lose sight of your child. Imagine if he or she were actually abducted. Go to wirelessamberalerts.org. Sign up for free Amber Alerts on your cell phone. When an Amber Alert is issued in the areas you've chosen, you'll receive a free text message. If you spot the vehicle, the suspect, or the child described in the alert, call 911. Sign up today at wirelessamberalerts.org. A child is calling for help. This message brought to you by the Wireless Foundation, the U.S. Department of Justice, the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children, and the Ad Council.
Hey, this is Bobby Bear Jr., and you're listening to WHFR Dearborn.
That's right, 89.3 WHFR.FM, the station of making waves. I'm Jeff, and you are listening to One Chord to Another. That's every Tuesday from 2 to 4 p.m. How is everyone doing today? I hope you're having a great day. I'm having a great day. I'm a little tired, but I'm pushing through it. I'm pushing through it for you, for all the songs I have today. Just a real quick thing I want to throw out there. If you have the time right now, you can still, I think, you might have a couple more minutes to get down.